Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. Today I'm going to cover a topic that I thought I had covered pretty much everything on this before, but it's good to revisit every now and then, not only for y'all, but for myself as well when I'm on the doubles court, and that is when to cover the alley. And I'm going to be talking specifically about 3-0, 3-5, and 4-0 level, because recently on Instagram we posted a reel that is up to, I believe, 33,000 views at this point. So it's definitely, I think, our most popular piece of content we've ever produced, at least on social media. And there's been a lot of comments that I'll read here in a second. And I want to kind of talk about those and kind of give you a framework of how to think about your movement at the net and when to cover the doubles alley. So we'll get back to our series, our 8-part series on double strategy next week. That will include how to use height to win in doubles. So we'll talk about when to hit a low drive versus a dipping shot versus a lob, and how to think about height to throw your opponent off. So we'll get back to that next week. But like I said, I saw this all these comments this morning on Instagram on this video and wanted to talk about them for today's episode. So I don't think this will take too long. But if you haven't seen the video, you can go check it out. We are at The Tennis Tribe, all one word. And it is the video, if you go to our Reels section, on servers partner positioning. So Wesley Kuhlhoff is serving, Neil Skupski's at the net, and I draw some kind of lines to illustrate why Skupski is in a good position. And that's actually a clip from a longer form YouTube video that we had done in the past. But anyways, we'll link to all those in the show notes for you as well. But definitely check it out on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram as well, because we're doing a lot more content there. But I want to talk about some of the comments. So a lot of the feedback here is related to skill level. So we'll start with Francie E. Wright. She said, the problem is 3-0s love going down the alley. Sarah Clark, 29, said, yeah, in 3-0 to 3-5, stand right there, and you're probably going to get nailed in the butt for their inconsistent serve and or the slow serve, and you get smoked down the alley. And then Gillespie, 22, said, if you stand there in 3-0/3-5, I think you'll get burned down the alley unless you have long arms. Also, if the server is quick, they can cover the middle if you're covering the alley. So I'm going to address each of those, and there's a few more comments as well about covering the alley and different skill levels and why this may not apply to 3-0 and 3-5. And I want to argue that it does, and I'm going to tell you why. So first off, we don't have to think about this in absolute terms. We don't have to think about this in terms of positioning. So in the video, I guess I should describe this first. Neil Skupski is they're serving to the ad court, and he is slightly closer to the center service line than he is to the singles line. So his positioning is almost to an I formation. It's somewhere between regular formation and I formation, but he's not in the center of the service box. He's closer to the middle of the net. And I talk about in the video why that's so effective at throwing the returner off. You're reducing their angles cross court, or their window cross court, and then you're forcing them into a more difficult down the line return. So, one of the comments that said you might get nailed in the butt, valid, I guess, if your partner doesn't have a lot of control on their serve. I would say to that, if they don't have a lot of control on their serve, start closer to the singles line and then move there once the serve is hit. So the point is not where to start, it's where to be kind of when the opponent is hitting. So create a little movement to adjust there. But regardless, one of the big things at the net that I feel like a lot of people are missing when they watch some of these videos and with some of these comments is that when I show you something like this, I'm not saying start here every time. I don't like to speak, and I've talked about this previously on the podcast, I don't like to speak in absolute terms. I don't think there's a scenario in doubles where you say, every time this happens, you must do this. Instead, it's very situational, and really at the net, even more so, you want to be unpredictable. So if one time they serve down the tee, I'm starting in this position, next time I might show them a different look. You really want to stay unpredictable to apply pressure on them and to kind of strategically force errors throughout the match. So we don't do the same thing every time. So with this position a little bit closer to the center than we are to the singles line, I'm not saying to do it every time. I'm saying this is a tactic you can use to force errors. And we're going to talk about a lot of different factors that go into making that decision to do that here in a second. So to me, I think that's what makes doubles so much fun. You're weighing so many different factors at once to determine what you want to do. And there's never a scenario where you're saying, oh, each time that happens, you do this. Instead, maybe you'll do that 80% of the time, and then the other 20% of the time, you'll do something else. You know, it just depends on the scenario. So a lot of the comments were about at a lower level, we get burned down the alley. So the problem is 3-0s love going down the alley. If you stand there in 3-0, 3-5, I think you'll get burned. So I don't think the level matters. In my 5-0 matches, I'm still not going to do this very often on second serves. What it comes down to is if you're on offense, neutral, or defense. And that's something I talk about a lot in my Net Play Strategy ebook. And a lot of this is covered in there. But you have to be able to determine if you're on offense, neutral, or defense. So on a second serve, especially if your partner has a weak second serve, you're probably going to be on defense, even though you're at the net. So in that case, it might be best to cover the alley a little bit more to force them cross court just so you can stay in the point. One great way to counter that or to work on that is to develop a deeper second serve. So a second serve that lands deeper in the service box, in the, say, back third of the service box, is going to be a lot more difficult for the returner to step in and rip down the alley. So you can work on your second serve depth by just setting up some targets deep in the service box. So depth is key on the second serve, but ultimately, like I said, this comes down to offense versus neutral versus defense. So you have to decide, if you're on offense, you're going to move more towards the middle. If you're on defense, you might move more towards the alley. And then sometimes even on defense, you know, if I'm, let's say, up 40 love in a game and my partner has a second serve, sometimes I'll still poach. Maybe it's only once or twice a match, but the fact that I do it and the opponent has no idea it's coming, it can be really effective. I can force an error because they're surprised. Sometimes I get a volley. Sometimes I miss the shot, but maybe it forces more errors on second serves later on because they think, okay, he might poach on this. So you have to think about all these different factors. Another thing to think about in this particular video, it was to the ad court. So one person mentioned that a lot of players in the ad court like to hit their forehand from the doubles alley. down the line. So it's an inside in forehand. And that is a strength for some players. So this is where, as the net player, you have to be reading the opponent. If you know that they like their inside in forehand, then and you see them turn to their forehand side, then you probably should shift to your right and start to cover the alley a little bit more most of the time. If you see them turn to their left to hit a backhand and you know they love their cross-court backhand, then you can pinch more towards the middle. So it just depends on the opponent. But there are scenarios where, of course, you do want to adjust your position and cover the alley a little bit more. Another thing I'll mention is the score. The score matters a lot. So I might do the second serve poach thing that I talked about earlier, up 40 love, or if we're up, say, 5-1 in the first set, on a low risk point where if I miss the volley because they rip the return cross court, or if I go too early and they beat me down the line, it doesn't matter that much. If it's a big break point down, let's say down 4-5 and it's a set point and it's 30-40, I'm probably not going to take that risk. So the score matters a lot. So I would try this positioning thing out on, if you've never done it before, on lower risk points. Try it on first serves instead of second serves when you're going to be on offense more than defense. And then as the returner turns to their forehand or backhand side, you can adjust your left or right accordingly. Reading the opponent is super, super important. This is all, you know, very player and team specific. You have to be considering, you know, if you're right or left-handed, where is your forehand volley, all this sort of stuff, including deuce or ad court. Some deuce court players like their forehand cross court, struggle with it a little more down the line. Some players are the opposite. So it really, really just depends on the scenario. So this was a short episode, but I think a very, very important one on when to cover the alley. If you have questions about this, you can email me, will@thetennistribe.com, or comment on the video if you have any questions as well, and I'll reply with my best advice there. But if you want more on net play, you can always check out the ebook as well. That's at thetennistribe.com/products. And be sure to, like I said, check out our Instagram channel because we are publishing on that a lot more now. So hopefully you enjoyed this short episode. I'll get back to the 8-part series next week. And for now, enjoy Roland Garros. There's a lot of good doubles on Tennis Channel Plus. So enjoy that and enjoy the rest of your week. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.